So we are talking about tonight, we're talking about church membership. We've talked about the different acronyms such as AARP, UAW, Major League Baseball, MLB, ARC, etc. They all have something in common. That's why they are in that group. For membership of the church, we have things in common. Some churches don't require anything to become a member. You simply just come along. That's been very popular the last 50 so years in America, to have a seeker-sensitive movement to make the church seem just like whatever they want it to look like instead of preaching the Word of God. If you watch the quotes earlier on, the Bible should be, one quote was, the Bible should be the centerpiece, more important than the pastor being witty or the church being a huge size, etc. The Bible should be the centerpiece. So does the Bible have anything to say? In your book there on page 46, neither Acts nor the epistles contain any particular formula for admission and recognition of church members. Nowhere does the New Testament mention a membership roster. There's nowhere in the Bible that has these particular people join this church on such and such a date. Now, there's lists, especially in the Romans 16, a lot of Christian brothers and sisters, etc., but there's no membership roster. So did they even have a membership criteria? Were there people who went to the church that weren't members? How did you become a member? So there are some things that we need to look at in Scripture. Yes, there was a purpose, and yes, there was some criteria. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would there, please. And one of the things they were to do, they were to hold each other accountable. And there were some things they were not supposed to do. We'll look at this probably more the next chapter, I believe it is. But 1 Corinthians 5. So, have you ever heard the little saying? My wife and I use it quite often, stay in your lane. If people just stay in their lane and not get out of their lane, it'd be a lot better off. Well, there's lanes, if you would, for the church. We are not asked as a church to make decisions on things outside the church, per se. But we as a church body, we are to make decisions on who to call as pastor, maybe how to spend the money, adding someone to the church. By the way, if you are baptized in this baptistry, that does not make you a member of the church. What makes you a member of the church is when we as a church body, based upon your testimony and the fact you have been or are getting baptized soon, to accept you as a member, and then we vote on that. Now that's what brings you into the church body. So you can actually be baptized and not become a member of a local church, but typically now I will say that's a testimony, and we would vote. Someone comes forward and says, I want to join the church, and I've been baptized yet. We would say, need a motion to receive Tim Wright under watch care of the church until after baptism, and then we understand once they're baptized, they then would become part of the church family. But the baptism itself, when you become part of the church, is the church body says yes. Yes.
Church membership is strictly for control of the property. It has nothing to do with the church.
Church membership?
It's to control, to have control of the property. It doesn't have anything to do with the body of Christ.
So why we have a purpose for being a member of the church, do we not?
Yeah, but membership,
I see what you're saying.
Is to control the property.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we can all fellowship together and be members of the body of Christ, you know.
Yes.
In the courthouse, you know.
Yes.
Or in the school someplace.
Right.
But in order to have say-so over the property, you have to be a member of the church.
Right. But also, I think also comes along with that is obligation. If I'm going to be part of the church, I'm going to probably send give my tithe to the church. I'm going to support the church. I see what you're saying too. It's part of to make a decision on the property procedures. But also, whether you are official member or not official member, we have in common, I believe, as you come here regularly, you have in common. We have the same core beliefs. We have the same way of doing things. There's no church that's going to be perfect. There's no church that's going to do everything exactly like you would do it if you were in charge of the church or whatever. So I guess there's a little bit of grace latitude possibly there, because it's not going to be a church or a place that you find perfect and it just like fits all your needs exactly. We find in 1 Corinthians, that speaking to what Mr. Womack says, there was a person here, if you look in 1 Corinthians 5, is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not such to be named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily was as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed, that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you were gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, etc., etc., etc. He's telling them that you, as a group of believers, and this person who has joined your group, and but they're living contrary to the word of God, it's up to you as a church to do, we call it church discipline. Later on, this same guy, I think 2 Corinthians got right with the Lord if you read the scripture that far, but the goal of discipline is not to castigate. The goal of discipline is a restoration to fellowship. That's what happened. I'm really pretty confident. The same guy in 2 Corinthians, the one who they had exercised discipline upon, got right and got back with the church. I'll have to look at it for next week. But the goal, it's not to, we'll talk about in the next chapter, it's not to totally decimate. It's to, listen, brother or sister, if this isn't pleasing to the Lord. And so you need to get that part of your life right. But we want you to get it right and come back into the fellowship. Question number 3 in your outline book. What did Paul expect the church to have already done and to take the person out of the congregation? They had not done so. Question number, it's on page 47 now. Question number 4. What clues in these verses point to the church membership at Corinth? The believers gathered together to make a decision about the man who was living in sin. So they, as the members, they were called to, by Paul, to make a decision as a corporate body on what happens in the church, those members. Reminded the people at Corinth that God is going to judge those who are outside the church, but they themselves are responsible to make decisions. As we, as a corporate group of people, making decisions regarding the church property, regarding et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Question number 5. What could we assume by the Corinthians having some people in the church and some people outside the church that there was a former formal membership? So he didn't ask everybody in Corinth. He asked the ones who were actually regarding the church. People who had signed on, made a covenant together. We want the covenant together that we are going, as a body of believers, going to meet together and serve the Lord. Those are the ones who were, it wasn't like everybody in Corinth. It was the people who were part of that particular church at Corinth who were to make that decision. In other words, we find there on top of page 47, the middle of 47 in your book, some mechanism existed to determine who was in the church and who was not, and who to decide who to participate in this decision. So Paul, even though he was a Christian, was not necessarily a member of that church, that particular church, although he'd started it, perhaps. And there were some who, we see later on in the book, who were coming to the church, but were not members of the church. So just because the people were coming to the church of Corinth did not automatically make them this. There was a criteria. So we have a criteria here. As a public profession of your faith, baptism by immersion, and then the desire to join with us and come to be part of our church fellowship. So those are the ones that become members. And so there was even though there wasn't a roster per se, scripturally speaking, is there a biblical basis for church membership? Yes. Because they were making decisions, those who had signed on to the church and joined together with the church, and they were working together as a group. Question 6. Describe the relationship between commitment and accountability in a group. We might answer that by saying, people in a group hold each other accountable based on their commitment to each other. Without the commitment, there's no basis for accountability. So we are going to make a commitment to that. So I made a commitment to where I'm working now to be on time, to be at the job, unless I'm really sick. And so if I start missing work for no reason and not calling in, matter of fact, some jobs, you don't call in, you're fired the first day, you don't call in. I mean, a no-show, without telling you, you're off the books. So I made that commitment. So I'm responsible now, and all of us who work at your jobs, et cetera, all of us in some capacity, I'm responsible to do that. So when I say I want to become part of the church or this particular church, then I am mutual obligations. We're saying, I'm going to sign on, I'm going to help that. And the church membership has fallen into, it's not as popular. People just would rather go to a church and not have to do anything. Or there's church and Baptist name. I'm still working on that. Why the Baptist name has fallen into such, I don't want to call it, what do you want to call it? I want to say just, it's not popular. People don't want to be, I don't know if it's history of Baptist of the last 50 years, but people want to become a community church or this church or that, but they're just afraid. My thinking is people just don't want to go to a Baptist church now because they're too narrow. Or they're Bible thumping, or they're, and there have been those, and there's Stephen Anderson's, if you don't know anything about Stephen Anderson over in Arizona, but there are some people who really teach erroneous things and love to cause and stir up problems and et cetera. He loves to be hated by people and et cetera. But most Baptist pastors are like just trying to serve the Lord how best they can. And there's a lot of other non-Baptist pastors doing the same thing. But we have a lot, we've sort of drawn away from, I think, in my lifetime, from the importance of and seeing the need of being a part of a local church. But God, whether you join that church or not, but you should be faithful, period, to the church. But God has chosen, what has he chosen to get his gospel to the world? The church. And so we should be a part of I'm speaking to the choir because you're here. But you should be involved in a local church and be involved and pray and support as best you can. And we work together. So question seven, how have you seen the benefits of accountability in our church? It's because we work together and there's a need. And I'll say, okay, can someone help me do that? And here they go. Or can someone help me with that? Here we go. Someone, can you help in Bible school? Can you help do this? Can you help do that? We need someone to do that. And people step forward. We want to get a piano. People step forward. We want to do this. People step. And that's part of, you feel a part of something. And that's part of being a local church. So I'm feeling more and more a part of the senior center. So I can go into the senior centers in our area now, and it's not like, oh, someone from Five Co is here. What have we done wrong? It's not like that now. I go so often, oh, hi, what do you need today? Or can we play Obi today or something? So that's part of, we work together. And that's what this, but there's a biblical basis for it as well. Thoughts or comments? How could we, none of us singularly could support 11 missionaries. Maybe you could, but not to the depth or to the extent. Or could we have all the things? Could we have a children's program? Could we have this? If one person by themselves, well, thank you, well said. We can't do it. So we working as a body together can go forward together to see the needs of the world met as we work toward that. Any other thoughts or comments? The covenant, then the second, if you're still on page 47, the church covenant. This mutual accountability relationship is deliberate and voluntary. I like that, those two words, deliberate and voluntary. If you're going to become part of any local church ever and ever, I'll have to say a little bit of a caveat here with my wife and I. Because we went to work at a school in Louisville. We had to join the church, which you understood. We went to work at a school in New Jersey. We had to join that specific church to work at a school. We went to work at a place in Virginia. We had to join that church to become the work of Revival Truth Music. Now, as a pastor, you're going to join a church. But typically, to join a church is something you believe God has led you to do, a particular church, and it's voluntary. Now, if you go to work for some ministries, and I understand it very well, I'm not boo-hooing that. If you work for some Christian schools, you have to become a part of that church to make it all work out. Except if you go to West Coast Baptist College out in California, I can almost assure you, you're going to need to become part of that church because that's just part of what they do. So, but this is what makes it deliberate and voluntary. You just choose to decide. So that leaves out infants. So we don't have any infant members of the church because they cannot deliberately choose. In some church denominations, when the infant is baptized, they are put on the church membership roll because they were baptized in that church. We believe it's a voluntary decision to become part of that church. Does it happen accidentally, as your book says? Now, on 48, the bottom of 47, going to 48, reasons for a covenant. There's, first of all, agreement to be a church. So next to the Bible, the covenant that we have, which I was going, I don't have on me, I guess I have one somewhere. Reasons for a covenant. We're going to decide together. So is a
is a Christian book company a church?
Is a Christian huge singing group a church? Is a Christian, you see, there's all different Christian organizations. We call them para-church organizations. But this is, we've made a covenant together that we are going to meet together and as a church. See the difference there? There's a lot of Christians might meet together, but we have decided we're going to covenant together that we are going to meet together, and we're going to have what is called a church. Two reasons for it important. First of all, the covenant represents the agreement of the members actually to be a church. Not all gatherings are churches, as you well know. Youth camps, seminaries, Bible conferences, mission boards are not churches. So this group of believers here at Little Sandy, we met together. We're going to be a church. We're going to agree to be faithful and to give our tithes and to serve and to pray. We have agreed to do those things. So the agreement to be a church, there's also agreement what it means to be a church on page 48. The covenant states an agreement about what it means to be a church. You wonder sometimes why there's so many denominations. How many denominations? I think it's 150 Baptist denominations alone. So there's denominations, all types of denominations. And so that, why does that happen? Well, we believe different things make up the church. Some church is going to baptize you, to dip you three times. Some churches believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. Some churches believe this. Some people churches believe that. And so there's all these denominations. So that's why we agree with. And if we went up our road, two or three roads, just there's a Pentecostal church down here. I would not agree wholeheartedly with them. A lot of things, yes. And then there's maybe the church here. And so that's why there's such a plethora of different. There's different feelings of what constitutes a church. Obligations on 49. Of course, membership involves more than just mutual accountability and discipline, and most church covenants recognize that fact. The duties and privileges of membership correspond to the various one another's of Scripture. And I like this right here. This is the obligations. I'm thinking of one word. One word. That was the word. I'm thinking of one word.
The body.
The body. And what do all these things take? Work. Sacrifice. A love. So love, forgive, edify, pray for, comfort, build up, bear burdens, admonish, bear with, minister, and teach. It's much easier for us to simply go to the church and pop in the door at 10:59. Stay there and leave early during the invitation and don't join anything and simply just I've done my time, I've spent my hour in church, and that's it for the rest, and you never pray, you never read your Bible, etc., etc., etc. The church is much more than that. It's I pray for all of you every day. And that's how I don't pray for other churches every day. I pray for you. So I've committed to pray for you. Probably most, if not all of you, pray for me. We have to do that. I don't pray for everybody up and down the road. You see, that's why we are a group of people meeting together, and we have covenanted to do these things. By your faithful attendance, you're willing to edify. My coworker just said today, he said, man, I love going to church. He says, and I greet everybody now. This guy has changed really a lot for the really better. Oh, really made a big about face. He encourages people now, hands out the bulletin sometimes. He greets everybody in the church now. And he said, I love that. He said, I don't know what I would do without that now. And that's where we should be. You come in, you edify, you forgive, you love, you bear the burdens, you help people out, pray for a bill and his truck to be fixed. That's part and parcel to being an active part of the church. You see, we've agreed to do these things together. And so all the one another's, the verse we started to memorize, that's part and parcel to being part of the local church. Yes, we agree to make the decisions together, and because we can do that. But beyond that, there's also the practical aspect of we are to be here. Well, can I help you with that? Or what can I pray for you about? Or do you need help with that? Or we know this person's in need. And you do something for them. You send them a card. You give them a call. You offer to help. And that's part of the obligations, if you would. We are to love one another. And in your lesson book, as we close, the very bottom of 49. Believers are also responsible to bear one another's burdens. To put up with each other in love, to forgive one another, to teach one another, to comfort one another, and to edify one another. God has called us to do all those things. The fruit of the Spirit is not just we pick one and say, I'm going to work on that fruit of the Spirit to the neglect of the other. It's all one fruit, nine aspects of one fruit. So we are working on it together. Thoughts, George?
The Great Commission, should we go out or make it so attractive they want to come to
us? Do both. I think it should be both. I think we go up. We our lives. Start, that's the starting point. Obey. The first thing, if you, all of us, I'm just listening today to someone speak. The first thing we do as Christians is to obey. And as we obey God, we are given opportunities then. So, but if my life contradicts, so I think we do both, George. I think we send missionaries and we send ourselves. You know, are we not? It's not just live your life, yes, but I think you have to live your life too in such a regard that when I talk to someone about the Lord, it's not like, why are you talking to me? Because I'm just, you know, look, I see what you're doing. It's bloom where you're planted. Yes. I like that. Bloom where you're planted. Other thoughts? I had a couple supposed to be here tonight, but they didn't show up. And there. So if you see a new couple on Wednesday night, go out here. You know, you do that already. So thank you for doing that. And we have to continue that. That part of people don't, they don't decide to stay for a long term the first time, but I can tell you they will decide never to come back the first time they go to. I mean, one bad experience and they'll never come again. So as you were saying, it all ties in together. We are working together, not for the pastor. We're not working for me. We're working for the Lord and serving together. So we have committed to working together because we have a lot of things in common. We have a lot more things in common spiritually than we have contrary, right? So we have a church family, is what you're saying.
Yes.
It is nice. It is nice. When Steph and I worked for BTM, the first half a year, from September to December, we were in 37 different churches from September to December because we were Wednesday night, Sunday morning. And we just said, boy, we just like to be able to find somewhere. We go to the same people more than one Sunday in a row. And so, you know, eventually the Lord led me to pastor the small church in North Carolina. It was nice to settle down to have a church family again. Let's pray. In closing. Bill, would you mind closing prayer? Bill?